I could do that.
Today is Monday, October 6th, and you are listening to the Just Nerd Stuff podcast, where we turn the lights out for Gorilla Radio. My name is Corey, and these are my co-hosts,
Kirk
and Jacob.
And today's spoiler review is the fifth installment in the Tony Hawk Pro Skater video game series, Dear Lord. And last week on TV, Marvel's favorite agents are back for season 3 of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Good morning, all. And good morning, guys.
Morning. We're starting a little bit late. I hardly consider this morning. It's all but 9:30.
Yeah.
Isn't
afternoon.
It's still technically morning.
Yes, it is still technically morning. I said that I hardly consider it morning.
And the only thing on my mind right now is food.
Yeah, I know. I'm
like my second cup of coffee just because I'm bored.
Which is like this whole weekend was just nothing but food. Kurt and I went to Popeyes because Popeyes just opened up around the corner.
Oh, hell yeah.
Like 2 blocks from my house. It's the greatest thing ever.
For those of you who don't understand why we were so excited, we haven't had
Popeyes. It's Popeyes. We're excited.
Well, for the first time, I had Popeyes for the first time a year ago.
It's brilliant.
When we went to Ocean City.
That was 2 years ago.
Oh, 2 years ago? Oh, my bad.
Man.
Yeah, so.
Where have you been?
That was the first time.
Playing games.
And, yeah.
True story.
Having a life.
Having a life in the basement playing games.
Well, and plus
shut
working.
Up. I'm having a life down here.
But no, yeah.
I'm playing Sims.
My guy didn't get past the chair.
Well, I mean, it's that good.
It's that good. So we did that, and then we went to that shrimp fest our dad took us to.
That made me sick.
I had like 5 plates of shrimp. It was the best thing.
I had 1 plate, and I got sick.
I filled up for the whole day, though. Yeah. I mean, I was happy. But even this morning, I don't have any food in my fridge, so I was making ramen and a burger. And I'm having a Pepsi right now, and the ramen fell in my sink.
Brakes went out in my car last night when I tried to leave, so I had to sleep in the office again.
Which you know you can sleep on the couch. Oh my God! Guys, look, it's a thing!
I am the doctor again.
What?
Where?
Right here. What the you don't see it right here?
You're talking about the Pepsi can?
What the hell?
Yeah, look, see.
Oh,
Pepsi can. No, actually, this was just announced this morning. Doctor Who audio plays from Big Finish. If you don't know what Big Finish is, they are a company that produces audio plays.
Mm.
Brilliant. And they're most noted for their Doctor Who audio stories. But now we are officially having War Doctor stories. Whoops, I forgot to say, spoiler. Sorry if you didn't see the 50th anniversary.
What?
Well, if you didn't.
Oh my God!
Yeah, no.
You seem really torn up about it.
If you didn't see the 50th anniversary, then you need to just reevaluate your life.
Yes, you should have done it already. It was a pretty big event. So. Shouldn't have missed it. But the War Doctor is getting his own stories out of Big Finish. It's going to be told over 4 box sets, and they're each containing 3-hour-long episodes all linked together. And the first box set is entitled Only the Monstrous, and is written and directed by none other than the voice of the Daleks, Nicholas Briggs. It'll be released in December 2015, and which will be followed in February 2016 by a second volume called Infernal Devices, which will be written by John Dorney, Phil Mulren, I can't pronounce these names, and Matt Fitton. And volumes 3 and 4 are currently in pre-production. And there's also a special prequel box set coming in November of 2017, which is actually a story of the war, the Time War, from the Eighth Doctor's perspective, featuring the characters in the box sets from the War Doctor stories. So we're getting, finally, new Who-related stories involved into the Big Finish canon, which means we're only 1 step away from having David Tennant stories and Matt Smith stories,
which would be cool.
Did you say new or new Who?
I said new Who.
New
Who.
So Doctor Who, here's a Who.
It's new Who.
Who?
What?
Moo.
I think you mean whom.
Don't correct my grammar.
But anyway, but I'm excited because I'm just like shut up and take my money.
Yeah, so that way we can listen to John Hurt Locker talking.
December 2015, only a couple months away, and that's the first.
Wait, is there an exact date, or does it just say December?
It just said December.
Ooh, I'm excited. I'm asking for that for Christmas. Thanks, Mom. Well, at least the first one, whichever one comes out, I don't know.
Yeah. But that's very exciting. Plus, this is also the company that also did the Sixth Doctor final audio adventure. Because if you guys don't know, in the old show, he was kind of fired from the show, and they just made a story called The Last Adventure, which is a finale for his Doctor, like a proper finale, the way we know it to be. So that's another exciting thing I have yet to listen to because I'm caught up. So, but go check them out, Big Finish Productions. If you are a fan of Doctor Who, you will definitely appreciate that. Mm. So last week on TV. We had Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. come back on our screens, season 3. Jacob was very excited, so he's going to lead up on this one. So go for it.
I got to say, I think Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is probably my favorite out of the comic book shows that are on TV right now. That's just my opinion.
It's got a lot of plot lines going through it.
Yeah, I do also really like Arrow, but S.H.I.E.L.D., I think, takes it by the ass.
Which is next week.
I'm still on Flash. Woo! I mean, it's just...
Both Arrow and Flash are next week.
Just Flash.
So you Kurt needs God. To watch Gotham and
Arrow.
He's
and
just slacking off. So, okay, so at the end of the second season, spoiler alert, if you haven't seen it, Skye's father kills her mother for trying to kill Skye. Mac has to chop off Coulson's left arm because he grabs a Terrigen crystal so it doesn't break in the room and kill everyone. And S.H.I.E.L.D. takes Skye's father and wipes his memory, and now he's a simple veterinarian, and he doesn't even remember who his daughter is.
He's having a great time,
but it's a little sad also. So that leaves us at the beginning of season 3, where the team finds a new inhuman named Joey, who has the ability to burn the area around him just by touching things. He can melt everything. And I think that they should call him Meltdown. That would be cool. But
because I mean, he really is having a meltdown.
Yeah, seriously,
emotionally,
in every way.
So, more Inhumans are starting to emerge because at the end of season 2, the Terrigen crystals get dumped into the ocean, and then you know the fishermen dig them up. They get into the fish, and then they start making fish oil out of it. So, pretty much anyone who's taken vitamins that has the alien gene in their DNA. Is gonna, you know, do the metamorphosis. So,
which, you know, that's kind of funny too, because the whole lead up for Skye becoming what she is was this huge thing, and now it's just in this season. No, everybody's gonna be inhuman now.
There's like, oh, a new inhuman. Okay, let's grab him.
It's like it was so special in season 2, and it was like this huge thing, and now it's just like, no, everybody gets it.
It's
like, oh, it's old hat now. Nothing new here.
Yeah. So
Kurt agrees with me, even though he's giving me a stare. he's just in shrug mode.
Right off the bat,
I'm having a great time.
You get smacked in the face. Everyone's calling Skye Daisy, and you're like, wait, what?
What?
Because that is her real name.
Still just throwing me off.
Which does. It kind of throws you off a little bit. Even Coulson keeps calling her Skye, and they're like, it's Daisy. And he's like, man, guess we're just having a hard time getting used to that. And they're all like, no,
it's just you.
Just you.
No, it's me too. Because I call her
Skye. It's just weird. She started off as Skye. Now she doesn't look like a Daisy.
She's Skye.
She's Skye.
I hate it when people change their names and expect everybody to call them that. It's like, I've known you for like 20 years and you want me to just call you by your new name. Right?
Like
really?
When you have a name like Bruce and you go to Caitlin. I know, right?
You just had
who wants to be called that.
You just had to pull that card.
A pop culture, baby.
It annoys me.
I'm kidding, and I respect her decisions.
All right. So,
but anyway,
since Coulson had his arm chopped off, he now has a robot arm that detaches, which is pretty cool.
Let's face it, when you say you have a robot arm in anything, it's cool.
Yeah, I mean, robot arm, but this is like a legit, it doesn't even look like a robot arm, but it's like glowy with like neon, and like he just twists it and it comes off.
He said he went through like 3 different arms already, right? Because they were trying to get like a good prototype.
No, I think he just lost them in the field, because we'll get to that.
That too, yeah. Well, what are you laughing about?
I just think that they should give him the solid snake arm from Metal Gear Solid, where it's a rocket and he can shoot his arm at people.
Yes.
That would be amazing.
It would be hilarious to see.
The thing I found funny in the episode, though, was he was using the robot arm to pick up his mug, and the mug was of Grumpy Cat saying, "I hate Mondays," which is just so Coulson.
And the other thing that I remember seeing was in his office, the axe that was used to chop his arm off is hanging on the wall in his office.
Oh, my God.
Almost like a trophy.
Yeah. So, all right. Back to the story. Fitz is still looking for Simmons because at the end of season two, Simmons gets swallowed up by the big
obelisk
thing.
Obelisk monolith.
The monolith.
They don't really have an official name for it.
Yeah, they call it the monolith. So Fitz is looking for Simmons because he just can't believe that she's gone. Mac is still a beast.
Oh, of course he is.
Bobby is recovering from her fight with Warden Agent 33. They messed her up pretty bad, broke her knee, she got shot in the chest. It was a fun time. And Bobby and Hunter aren't talking again, and you're just like, oh my God, what is happening? And then they pull this stupid thing where he's like, well, I can't see my wife on the day before our wedding or something like that. So then it's like they're getting married, and then gives her...
Well, I think they were just kind of like...
They hinted at this is possibly where it could go this season.
Yeah. It could be remarriage.
I thought it was hilarious, though, that she said... he gave her her ring, and she was like, do you even know where your ring is? And he was like, of course, I know exactly where it is. I just don't have the scuba diving equipment to go retrieve it. He threw it in the ocean.
But I know exactly where it is. That's the point. That's what counts.
Did either of you guys feel the same way when you saw that scene? You're thinking to yourself, one of them is going to die this season.
I wasn't really thinking that, I think, but because we had that last season.
Yeah, but like the thing is, once you feel that there's some sort of security to people, like they're like, oh, everything's going to be fine. We're probably going to get married again.
They just rip it from
you. They rip it out of you. They're just like, they steal your heart away.
Yeah.
So I really feel like one of them is going to die very soon.
Well, I mean, last season's arc, we went from them being broken up to them being more or less like in a good place at the end of season two.
Yeah,
now, for this season, it could go one of two ways. It could go back to being bad, or it could get better. And then when it gets better, then it'll just go back down again.
Yeah, they're in a place where they can just Netflix and chill all the time. You know?
Yeah.
They pretty much are.
I Doctor Who and chill. But when I Doctor Who and chill, we watch it, and then I'm like, okay, explain everything that just happened, and we need to talk about this right now.
So when you say Doctor Who and chill, you really mean Doctor Who and chill.
Yeah, I was going to say, Corey, do you know what Netflix and chill is?
I just assumed that was some class where you sit and you're just like... Let's talk about this movie.
All right, God damn it. So,
am I missing something?
No. We meet a new villain, and her name's Rosalyn. Apparently, she's not Hydra,
and she's not S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah, and she's not S.H.I.E.L.D. Just... Obviously, she's not S.H.I.E.L.D. She's a villain.
She's outside the government. She is Torchwood.
She's Torchwood. She's a rogue.
She's
unit.
Centipede.
Yeah.
No, Torchwood.
Centipede.
All right.
Millipede.
Millipede.
So she's trying to round up all the Inhumans before Coulson can get to them so she can run experiments on them, and she's basically dissecting them. And Coulson meets up with her, and that's where he makes the joke where he has to detach his arm so that way he can get out of his handcuffs.
Yeah.
Because they catch Coulson and Hunter in the train, and he has to detach his arm. He's like, damn it. He was like, this is the third arm I've gone through. Because I think that he just loses them in the field.
Okay.
He has to. All right. You know what I mean?
That's where I heard the third arm thing.
Yeah. Because he had to take it off so they could get away. And I think he had to leave it behind.
Yeah. I noticed in the lab they kept his actual arm there. And it looked like maybe they were trying to find a way to put it back and revive it. Or
just run tests on what has changed.
That too. I mean, they could have a lot of really cool ideas with the robot arm.
Yeah.
There could be some things going. But continue on.
basically, we end the episode with Coulson telling Fitz that he needs to stop searching for Simmons because they've come to the conclusion that she's dead and she is not coming back. And then Fitz walks into the room with the monolith, where you're not supposed to even go in. And he blows the cage open, walks in, and starts screaming at the thing, trying to get it to swallow him up too, because he wants to see what happened to her, because he does not believe that she's dead. He actually has the theory that it is a wormhole to a different universe.
Mm-hmm.
And then we find out that Simmons is in another universe or world. We really don't know exactly where she is, but she's running, being chased by something that we don't get to see yet, and we just assume, you know, she's still alive.
It's the Skrulls.
Yeah, it's the Skrulls.
It has to be some kind of, like, from what it looks like to me, it looks like some kind of hint to Infinity War.
Looks like the Phantom Zone.
Well, it's not, because it's Marvel.
Yeah, I know, but right. It looks like the Phantom Zone.
But it's another planet, and you see other planets. The Phantom Zone isn't like
but
that.
But is it the Phantom Zone?
No, it's not.
Groceries?
So yeah, it was a decent opener. I wouldn't say it was my favorite, but...
Nah, I think the season 2 opener was my favorite, but...
The cops are coming to get you, Kurt.
This one was pretty good.
What did he do?
I think he took the house down.
My God. Oh, he's back. Welcome back.
False alarm.
If you ever had to run from the cops, they would know.
So we're going to get into two other little brief things for last week on TV, and we wanted to talk about at least one thing about Doctor Who, which again was another beginning of a two-parter. They're not... I like how they're kind of teasing whether or not you're going to have two-parters each week.
Mm-hmm.
You'll never know if it is or not. And I like that. I like how it harps back to the original series. Again, I'm going to mention that again.
I'll never tell.
That's what Moffat's going.
Wait, I thought we were still talking about Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. All of a sudden, we're talking about Doctor Who now?
Yeah.
We finished. Where you been? You're sitting there on your phone.
You're too worried
attention.
About the cops coming after you.
He's not worried.
He's
sitting there on Facebook.
He doesn't know where he's going or
whatever.
What he's doing. Hey, hey. How many fingers am I holding up?
Hey.
And okay.
How many fingers am I holding up?
a certain finger we can't... Well, how do we describe it on radio?
It's the piss off finger.
It's up. Okay. He's doing anything he can to give us that certain finger. So, but in Doctor Who, like I said, it was the beginning of another two-parter. And in this one, we have our first ever deaf actress on the show, which I was
very interested.
I was like, interested
was
too. I mean, just
intriguing.
Just her presence in the episode enough was like, okay, whoa. Is there a reason for this, or is this just because? I actually thought if it was just because, it was interesting to include that community into an actual television show. And that's rare to see.
I honestly wasn't sure if she was actually deaf or not. I thought maybe she was just pretending to be deaf. Like,
yeah,
acting.
Who knows? I mean,
like she was acting. But apparently she really is deaf, which is cool.
Oh.
That's very interesting.
Okay. Yeah. And it did play out for the rest of the episode because the ghosts in the episode were mouthing out something, so she was there reading it for them.
Mm-hmm.
So she did have a purpose besides just being the commander of the underground temple or whatever it is. But it was a good, scary episode, so if you guys checked it out, give us thoughts on what you thought of it as well. And Jacob and I did want to talk about Gotham, at least a little bit. So
yes.
We got to do our duty. I'm looking at you, Kurt.
This is bull.
You know what's
you
bull?
You had a whole week.
I'm just saying because, like...
I am on an adjusted schedule.
You have plenty of time to watch shows. You just don't want to.
Well, not really. Not during the week. I mean, during the week, I literally work, and then I go to sleep.
Yeah.
And then I go back to work.
Which is horrible, because you shouldn't have to do that.
Well,
you like should be able to manage your time.
But don't you like to eat at home? When you eat at home, you can watch TV.
No. I take a snack for my breaks, and then I take a lunch.
Yeah, but when you're done sleeping.
When I'm done sleeping, I'm getting ready for work.
So you
sleep like 12 hours
up
and then
until
you go 6 to work.
PM.
No, he sleeps 16 hours of the day is basically
that's
what
true.
He's
you
saying.
Are a deep sleeper.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we're still giving you the headphones.
I told you.
You can't excuse your way out of this. You're getting the spoiler headphones.
I just think it's kind of stupid that we're actually talking about several episodes of Gotham when we should only be talking about just
several.
The first episode and the full season as a whole.
Well, we'll do that too, but we also said we're going to highlight stuff. Like I said, we wanted to highlight Doctor Who. We just highlighted the deaf person.
Several.
Right. I hate
it's
you.
Only
people.
Two episodes.
You just don't want the fact you have the headphones again.
That's
it's not,
okay.
It's not. Yeah.
You'll watch. You'll start watching the show.
I have our selection for the song this week, though, for Kurt. It is called "Friday" by Rebecca Black.
Oh my gosh!
Here's a clip.
I will literally quit this podcast if you make me listen to that song.
Well, what do you think, guys? Do you want Kurt to quit?
That's okay. We can get Justin in here.
Yeah. Here's a clip of Friday.
It's Friday, Friday. Gotta get down on Friday. Everybody's looking forward to the weekend. Weekend. Friday, Friday. Getting down on Friday. Everybody's looking forward to the weekend party.
All right, Kurt. Hit play. Oh, okay. At first I was like, wait, what is he listening to? And he has pissed. All right, let's get into this. So in Gotham last week, we'll just hit the highlights real quick. So Bruce Wayne fires Alfred because Alfred was, he broke the computer that Bruce Wayne wanted to get into, his dad's computer. But ultimately, he agreed to have Alfred back as long as Alfred taught him how to train and beat up other people.
beat up other people.
In a sense.
Take down
crime. So that's what happened for Bruce Wayne. But the big point of this week was how the Maniacs, the crime team, is actually not a Suicide Squad, but it's the Maniacs.
Shut up, crime!
So the Maniacs, they basically take down the GCPD.
Yeah.
And they kill Commissioner Essex? Essen? Essen.
Essen.
So the reason we're talking about this week is because the Maniacs was such a big highlight of this episode. They are basically, like I said before, the Suicide Squad, but the Maniacs themselves, whatever this team is, could be the beginning of what we know as the Suicide Squad.
Yeah, except they don't do anything good. They just do bad stuff.
Right.
They don't help.
Yeah, this is more just the villain team.
It's just a group of villains.
So this Theo Gallivan, whoever he is, he's planning to set up something bigger. He has a bigger plan for Gotham. Maybe this was it, but maybe it's something else.
Chaos reigns.
I kind of want to just keep talking to just make sure Kurt listens to the whole song. We told him we don't need the amount of minutes, but we'll just make up stuff right now.
he was like, you guys literally have like 3.5 minutes. He's so mad.
Finish it off. But that was the big thing of that episode. And then Harvey Bullock does come back to the GCPD reluctantly against his fiance, but he's
who
back.
Is
so.
A babe, by the way.
Yeah.
How does that happen?
Oh,
he's
and
like
Scruff
McGruff.
And actually, also in this episode, there was this really well written scene where Alfred asks Lucius Fox to help him basically fix the computer. But it was more than that. It was more or less the scene where Alfred was giving the story about his wartime and he's like, can I trust you? It was this really well written scene.
Uh huh. Yeah, I enjoyed that a lot.
Yeah, and
so basically they get Lucius then on their side, which is a good addition.
Yeah, yeah. Kurt gave the eyes to you real quick. Mm. He's like, are you guys done yet?
And then hopefully he'll become a main character. I'm sure he will.
Oh yeah, yeah. Eventually, because Lucius Fox needs to be brought into this team eventually. So it looks like this is the beginning of it, before Batman's Batman.
Before Batman begins.
So with Jerome. See, here's the thing. What I find interesting about that character is that he isn't necessarily called the Joker. He's just known as Jerome. So it makes me wonder, where are they going to go with this character? He's not necessarily the Joker, but he could be.
He looks like it. He pretty much is. He looks like it, acts like it.
How do you feel about the Joker actually having a backstory like that?
It's okay. I mean, I feel like Jerome could not even be like his real name.
Yeah.
Who even knows if that's his real name? It could just be like a fake.
Yeah, I've always liked the Joker as who he is, this mysterious villain. Yeah. No backstory, no nothing. He's just an entity of chaos.
Yeah, literally everything is anonymous.
So hopefully it all works itself out. And Kurt, here's the thing, everybody. Okay, the song just finished. Kurt said, "I'm only listening to this once." At least he was willing to do it. Has he come out a new man from the song?
He loved it the whole time. I could tell it in his nipples.
Look how hard. Look at that. He finished the Mountain Dew like it was a glass of vodka. He needed a drink after that one.
I really, really need some whiskey.
So that was last week on TV. Let's get into the news for the week. So the first news story we got, apparently the Terminator series is on hold indefinitely. There will be no more Terminator movies as of right now. In a recent article from The Hollywood Reporter on the dangers of financiers turn creative, the publication noted that Terminator Genesis, although it racked up $440 million worldwide, it's at a $150 million plus budget, it will still probably lose money. And the sources say the notion of a Terminator universe is on hold indefinitely.
They knew they effed up.
They messed up. They know they did.
They know they did.
The whole tone, everything was wrong with that movie. It was as good as it was bad, like we said before.
Movie was a hot, steaming pile of garbage.
Pretty much. But, I mean, I was still interested to see where it goes if they were going to end it in this trilogy, but it looks like it's not going to happen. As far as I'm concerned, it might as well die. So, Kurt, this news story's for you. There's Mass Effect. Mass Effect is getting a 4D attraction. It's going to be produced through a partnership between Electronic Arts and California's Great America. The attraction is described as a first-of-its-kind guest experience, combining live performers, special effects, and quote-unquote 4D effects, which is a holographic experience. And it's set to open in 2016 at the Santa Clara, California's Park, newly renovated action theater.
Awesome.
Isn't it?
Awesome.
It's a whole new way of getting a holographic, like, immersive experience. But it's funny, though. The virtual reality, like, virtual reality is being the thing now. So we're getting this holographic experience. I really hope that they know exactly what they're doing. They have to make it look just right to come out of it. So Kevin Feige, at a press conference for the release of Avengers Age of Ultron Blu-ray, he has officially confirmed, and I posted this to your page, Kurt, that the gauntlet that Thanos has in the mid-credit scene is, in fact, a second gauntlet, and the one in Odin's lair is fake.
What?
He has officially confirmed it. It isn't two gauntlets, like left hand, right hand. It is a second gauntlet, but the gauntlet is fake. So for whatever reason that's there...
That's stupid.
I kind of am wondering why they would even release that information. Like, don't you think they'd want to, like, keep that a secret as, like, a plot twist?
Maybe. I don't know. Maybe they would go after it thinking it's in Thor's lair. It's like, oh, I have the gauntlet. No, you don't.
Yeah, but now we all know.
Right.
That it's not real. So if they do that, it's going to be stupid.
I don't know.
You know what I'm saying?
Hopefully they have a better plan than that. BBC, who makes Doctor Who, of course, they have announced a Doctor Who spinoff show, another one, from young adult author Patrick Ness. It will take place in contemporary London as dangers start breaking through the walls of time and space. It is called Class, and it is described as Coal Hill School and Doctor Who like you've never seen them before. And the new series will run for 8 episodes, 45 minutes apiece, and it will be filming in and around Wales in spring 2016 and air next year. I don't know exactly how I feel about this.
Wait, what is it about?
It's about the students of Coal Hill School, Coal Hill Elementary.
Which is what?
The school that Clara works at.
Oh, okay.
That's all it is.
Yeah, well, see, they don't really, when they show you Clara working at school, they don't really talk much about the school. I mean, the only way you'd know what the name is if you, like, read the front of the building, if they ever show, like, a shot of it.
Well, nobody would really pay attention to that at all.
Well, yeah. I mean, I'll still be checking it out, but at the end of the day, it has me a little concerned. Well, because it's a Doctor Who spinoff. I watch all the Doctor Who stuff. Except Sarah Jane Avengers. I didn't watch that. But I hear that's funny.
You didn't even finish Torchwood.
I didn't finish it, but I have watched most of Torchwood.
It's just
okay. Moving
about
on.
About students.
Yeah, about students. The head of Lucasfilm and Star Wars executive producer Kathleen Kennedy. She dropped some interesting information regarding the upcoming bunch of Star Wars films, separating them into two categories, which is the saga and the anthology, and explaining the explicit difference between the two. And she stated the saga films, like episodes 7, 8, and 9, they will focus on the Skywalker family saga. The stories follow a linear narrative that connects to the previous six films. The Force Awakens follows Return of the Jedi and continues that generational story. The anthology films offer opportunities to explore fresh characters, new storylines, and a variety of genres in the Star Wars universe.
I think it was very self-explanatory when they were doing side movies.
It is, but when we have the new characters such as Rey and Finn and all of them, and we don't have a last name attached to them, it's telling me as a clue that Rey is probably a Skywalker in the lineage. I mean, it could have been it could have been self-explanatory, but if they're saying it's the Skywalker saga and they're passing on the torch the way they would from Anakin to Luke, it would have to be the Luke to somebody else. And to me, it's saying Rey.
I think Rey is Finn. Leia and Han's daughter.
Rey Palmer.
This is true, but at the same time, Rey is still technically a Skywalker. She's of descent. So she could have the Force too. It's probably about her in the family, so...
I'm just going to point it out. All I really want to see in big motion picture is the Old Republic.
I mean, that'd be cool.
That's all I care about.
Really. I mean, heck.
If they announce it, I'm going to fangirl everywhere.
Yeah, you'll switch genders all in all.
Yep.
So apparently Zack Snyder might not be done with Watchmen just yet.
Ooh.
A report from Collider states that the director who helmed the 2009 movie... has met with HBO about a potential TV series adaptation of Watchmen, though no further details are disclosed in the article. But additionally, the unnamed sources make it clear that meetings have taken place, but nothing has been greenlit yet.
He's probably going to do movies on those side books that came out.
The before Watchmen?
Yeah.
It'll probably become some kind of miniseries.
Most likely.
Based on that. Which I'm not against, because at the same time, like, while before Watchmen came out, I wasn't interested in it at all, because I just thought the Alan Moore comic was that great. Mm-hmm. I was like, I'm fine with it just being that. It was meant to be a one-off story like that. But now we have all these extra ones, and it's like, well, they're capitalizing on the popularity.
That's what everything ever does with everything.
Yes.
All the time.
Add more.
Everywhere.
Look at Star Wars. The anthology. And apparently... we are getting a Transformers 5, 6, 7, yes, and an 8.
Let it die.
Yeah, I know.
It died with 2.
It died with 1.
No, the first one wasn't that bad.
The first one wasn't bad.
As long as they never continued again, it would have been fine.
But they said they've stated that they plotted out the next 10 years of the Transformers franchise.
Oh, my God.
Yes, 10 years. And they said that they are working with a number of different writers, including Akiva Goldsman, who is he worked for A Beautiful Mind, if you remember that movie. But, yes, they are doing a 5, 6, 7, 8, and it's just no.
Well... watch them blow the other four just like out of the water.
Yeah. Watch
it's them, like, just be like amazing.
We have talented writers. This time it's actually good. Don't worry, guys. We got this.
Watch it be real robots.
Real. Yes.
Real Transformers.
How about the real steel robots into the Transformers franchise?
There you go.
Oh my God.
All right, guys. That's it for the news this week. So let's get right into the review of Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 5. So it's pretty clear that
it sucks.
Well, yes.
It
and
sucks.
Review over. Thanks for listening.
Don't buy it.
No, please don't. Stay
it's
away from
it.
Don't buy it.
I only bought it because of this review that we're doing for the podcast, and I regret paying that $60.
You're genuinely going to miss Blockbuster if you buy the game.
Seriously, this game, all it does, I told this to Corey, and he agrees with me completely. when you play this game, the only thing it does for you is it makes you want to play the originals. That's it.
That's all it made me want to do.
Because you realize that the originals are better.
Well, it's funny. I popped in 5, and there were things I noticed were missing, and I'm like, wait a minute. So they say this is a direct sequel to the original Pro Skater series. I'm going to go back and grab the latest of the games and play that, of the Pro Skater. So I put Pro Skater 4 in, and I was always playing. I'm like, okay, so they did make it a true original because there were certain things from it. But then I just enjoyed playing 4 again.
Yeah.
I was like, exactly. Forget 5. I don't need this.
Yeah.
What's the point of this? All right, so let's get right into the different categories for video games. And as far as out of 10 here.
1.
I
0.
I don't even want to give it 1. I don't want to give it a rating.
Well, earlier yesterday you said 4.
I said 4, and I'm like... The reason I say 4 is because it's playable.
Okay, you know what? For just this once, I am not going to give it a review. I am not going to give it an out of 10.
You'll talk about it, but not out of 10.
I am not giving it. And I literally refuse to rate this game.
Yeah. It's playable, but that's just it. It's playable. It's nothing special.
I mean, it's not like it's so bad that it's like glitchy and... Like, it looks like crap, but, like, the challenges are... A lot of the challenges are silly, and a lot of the, like, animations with, like, the boards and, like, the interactive parts of the different parks and things like that are just... It's just silly. It's, like, it's really stupid.
I don't need...
Swag crates.
Yeah. 2 words.
Yeah.
Swag greats. I don't really want to give it out of 10 either because it's mostly negative for me. It's playable, but it's negative, and I just don't know really how to pinpoint how I feel about it.
Not good.
So we're just going to go into the categories. So we're going to start right off with the presentation of the game, which more or less it's a Tony Hawk Pro Skater game. It's exactly what it is. They said they wanted to make it a true sequel to the series. And, I mean, in that sense, yes, it works. But it's lost its path. Mm-hmm. It's lost what it originally was meant to be. It is an arcade game. That style has never really changed. You can pick it right up, and you know the controls, get right into it. And you can still have at least some decent fun with it. And the presentation, like I said, it's there. It works. But the missions are so weird. Like you were saying, Jacob... in Pro Skater 4, there was one of those missions, like in each of the levels, where you maybe collect 5 keys in Alcatraz.
Yeah.
Simple, and that's it. Every other combo challenge or anything like that, it would go from easy, medium to hard.
Mm-hmm.
And you could do, okay, manual down this path. Okay, cool, easy. Then you go back, and the next challenge, okay, here's medium. Manual, but do a kickflip in the air, then go back into a manual. They were challenges that tested your way of playing the different combos and the different tricks. It wasn't about a big head like in this new game where you do tricks until the head explodes or you like collect ice cream cones and put it in the swimming pool. I don't care about that. I want to do more tricks and I want to learn new tricks and upgrade from there. You do have stat points like in the old games, but it's just not exactly the same. It's evolved and it's changed into something that is... Is it new and fresh in a sense? Yes, because of the new generation. But if you're an old fan, it doesn't harp back to it at all.
There are still some of the little hidden things that you can do in the different skate parks. Like I was playing the one that had like it was like on fire. It was like a lot of flames and like a bonfire and stuff that you could skate over, and it would actually light your board on fire.
Yeah,
which was cool, and you're skating around with your board on fire. And then there's like you can go up this quarter pipe and land on this rail and do a stall, and it lights the whole rail on fire. It like bursts into flames, and then you get like extra points for it, which is like something that you would have seen in the older ones, which I enjoyed that part.
Mm-hmm.
But and then they had like portals where you would like jump into the bonfire and then come shooting out, and then you would skate on a rail and light the whole rail on fire like while you were skating around, and then you jump off into another bonfire and then it like transports you into another thing. And that kind of reminded me of the older games a little bit, but
there are elements there that are very reminiscent, and they included the elements that I think were what they should have done.
Mm-hmm.
but it still felt like a step backwards.
And then they just dump in your face with like a challenge. Oh, collect as many marshmallows as you can in the time allotted, and then throw them into the bonfire. It's like, okay,
I don't care about this.
This is so fun. Let's see who can get the most marshmallows.
Yeah,
it's like, why? Let's just play Mr. Bucket.
It's like a 6-year-old would be excited about this game.
Yeah.
Kurt, do you have anything to add?
See who can scoop up the most balls.
It's just bad. Like, I played it for like how long, and then I just was like, I don't want
to
play this
anymore. I'd like to point out that these guys played it for just a little bit on one level. I actually made an effort to get to the second level, and even then, I didn't want to keep going.
Mm-hmm.
I was that uninterested. So let's get into the gameplay. And I'd like to point out, the guys played the game after I updated the patch. Before the patch, when I didn't have, I was downloading the update, I wanted to at least get started, there were massive amount of bugs. It was so laggy. It was like you were shaking as you were just like, just simply skating down an area, and it just, the whole screen just kind of like seizured on me. It was the strangest thing. The skateboard itself wasn't reacting the way it should, but the update patch did fix that. So I give them props for that. But as far as gameplay, my initial reaction was, if you have a series and you keep going with it, you keep evolving your gameplay. We had Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 4, and then we got Underground. And when Underground came out, everybody flipped out about, you can get off your board now. You can walk around. That's crazy, right?
Yeah. And it's an actual story.
Right, right.
You could create a character.
And I love the story. That was one of my favorite things about Underground.
You could create a character in the old ones, but still.
Yeah. And with Pro Skater, the Pro Skater series, you can play and you can have fun and just jump in. But with Underground, you have a meaning to it, and there's a story behind it. So that's what made that a little bit better. So if you're saying you're making a true sequel to the Pro Skater series, fine. But at least incorporate elements in your later games, because people are still going to want those things, like getting off your board. I immediately pressed the right trigger button to get off my board, and I couldn't. That was the biggest misstep. I think by going backwards, you're hurting yourself. Just because you think the Pro Skater series were more popular, it's like, well, then if we just do a Pro Skater game, it'll be popular and it'll be better. No. You're making a big misstep here. Add the things that people like, and include it and make it a new, fresh version of the series that made it popular. You need to adapt and overcome from it.
They didn't realize that getting off your board was such an amazing thing in the Tony Hawk's Pro Skater series, that when Thug came out, people were like, oh my God.
Yeah.
And it's really a helpful thing to always get off your board in case you need to do something like put yourself in a position that you can't just get to on a board.
Such as the swag crates that were on where the spine transfer was. I'm sorry. The crates. We'll just say the crates. How about that?
I hate that name. Like, swag? Really? Who even says that anymore?
I bet it was Riley.
Probably Riley. Hey, Dad, you know what would be really cool? You call swag. The crates? Swag crates.
Swag crates.
That's a great idea, son. Kids love that stuff.
Put it in there.
Put it in.
Just do it.
But yeah, that was one of my biggest gripes. As far as the actual play style or the controls, it was more or less the same. I think the when you're turning around, that was a little bit like you had a harder time turning around from a spot you were in. My biggest gripe, and Kurt knows exactly where I'm going with this,
the slam,
the triangle button. See, here's the thing. In the old games, when you are saying you're ollieing to a rail and you hold down the X button, you let go and you jump. So while you're in midair, you can hold down the triangle button, so that way when you get to the rail, you'll automatically start grinding. That is ingrained in our brains from 4 different games and on. Now, they included a version where in the triangle button, if you hold down the triangle button midair, you will slam to the ground. This one move causes the biggest mess up.
You will always, about 50% of the time, you will miss the rail.
Because now you have to adapt to this.
60-70%.
Yeah, you have to adapt to this change, and that is the biggest problem. You have to wait until you get to the rail to actually hit the triangle button now and do a direction. It's a minor change, but that minor change was enough to frustrate the heck out of us. Jacob, do you have anything to add?
I didn't like it.
I don't like it. It's not a good game.
No, I did. I was able to...
they redecorated it.
I don't like it. I don't like it. But I was able to get, because I know that you guys were having trouble When you're like in a bowl and then they have like a big rail up above that like circles yeah. around it, and you should be able to just go right up, get a ton of air, and when you get high enough to reach the rail, start grinding it, but you slam down. I was able to get I was able to do that without slamming. I was able to figure out that like pretty well. You mm-hmm. just gotta time it like perfect. You yeah, gotta be yeah. like right at the rail.
Right.
You can't just because usually if you would go above and you just hit triangle, when you came back down, you would just start grinding.
Right.
But no, you can't. You gotta just really time it good. What? And you kind of have to go off at like an angle, you know.
Yeah.
But why would they think the slam is a good idea?
Yeah, like what
I
is
really
the
don't.
What is the point of it?
It just
I mean,
slams you to the ground. That's all it does.
Yeah.
Like if you're in like a pipe or something and you're trying to get extra speed, okay, maybe that would be okay, but
maybe they used it so when you do like a transfer, you slam down on to get better speed. That would make sense, but don't put it at the same button to grind with.
Right.
Yeah, and that's the other thing. If you're going to have a slam, and you can't get off your board, why don't you use the trigger button for the slam?
Yeah. Or just like click the stick or something.
Yeah.
Something.
Something else, but not a button that you need constantly to use.
Yeah, that was a terrible inclusion. Plus, with the triangle button, if you want to wall ride and hit something such as like a school bell,
oh
I told you guys
God.
About this. The school bell that I was trying to hit, I found a school bell. It took me like 5 minutes to get that one school bell broken because I kept missing because the triangle button kept messing me up the entire time. It was very frustrating. You should never have that in a Tony Hawk game. Also, when you bail, this is a minor inclusion. When you bail, it refreshes the screen instead of letting you get back up like the old games do. Yeah. You don't have to press the buttons down a lot and then you stand up. It takes it away, and by taking away that, you're also, when you refresh the screen, your character might turn in the opposite direction
yeah.
out of nowhere. Like, I'm facing forward to do my thing, and then I bail. It would be nice if they would have at least refreshed it right where I fell and faced towards where I'm going, but then sometimes it'll just turn you in the opposite direction.
The refresh is just stupid.
It's a bad, bad inclusion. So we'll move on to graphics now, which graphics... I'm not necessarily complaining about the graphics, but the graphics are mostly okay. But it's too clean. Everything's too new. Everything's too fresh.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's very vibrant colors, and I don't like that. The old games had a sense of, like, the shadows and the hues of the colors of where you're at. It gave it a sense of realism and look and it was okay, like, let's put it this way. If it was like a sunset going on, the colors were there and made you feel like you're at a sunset place. The colors in this were just so bright and nice, and it's too clean. It didn't give it a sense of realism. At least they thought that it was, and I'm like,
it just kind of seemed cartoony.
Yeah,
when like the old ones were a lot more gritty.
I mean, when you look at all the maps and everything that you can go into in the fifth one, they're stupid. Because, yeah. Okay, but then again, if you really think about it, the old ones, the places you could go, are stupid. Alcatraz.
Mm-hmm.
Freaking a foundry. You don't skate in places like those.
You don't.
Like, skate heaven, for crying out loud. Like, what?
Yeah.
Like, they're out of this world. But then when you look at them, like, they were grimy, disgusting, old places. Like, it felt like... grunge style.
Yeah, yeah.
It
yeah.
felt like the grunge style, and that's why...
Like, Thrasher.
Exactly. Like, it like, felt like you were a skater, and you were one of the cool kids.
Like I went into a place I'm not allowed to go.
Yeah, and now when you get to this, it feels like it's just pop culture now.
It's like, yeah. Instead of being like, I'm in a place where I can't go anymore, it's like, go ahead, kids, have fun.
Like, I'm not... I wouldn't be surprised if they added, like, a soundtrack, like, in their soundtrack for this game. It was, like, Iggy Azalea or something.
Yeah, I'm like, surprised that's not there.
Yeah, right? Like, it's just... This game does not feel like a Tony Hawk game at all.
Like, I remember playing Underground for the first time, and, one of your very first challenges is you have to do a trick over the spine... In this alleyway between your house and another house, and
yeah.
it's literally pieces of plywood stacked up against dumpsters,
yeah.
and there's trash and flies
yeah.
everywhere, and you're skating on it.
It felt like a real skate situation.
Yeah.
Skating.
Yeah.
And you're just like, yeah, this is like a bunch of kids put this together because there's nothing to skate around here and they want to skate. So they built their own like a quarter pipe and spine on these dumpsters. And it was just amazing.
Yeah, it's just that was when skateboarding was cool.
Yeah.
It was so cool. And now it's just...
It's out of style now.
It's just, yeah.
It's unfortunate, really. But a thing I forgot to add to the presentation was that you notice how the levels in this... Because we have this bigger space with PlayStation 4 and Xbox One, we have more room to work with. And because of that, everything's kind of spaced out. With the older games, they had limited room, so they shoved everything together. And in doing that, they had to be more creative with things that you're ollieing off of or tricking off of. Now everything just seems so unimaginative. It's like, oh, let's put a half pipe there. Let's put a little ramp over there. It's like, back in the day, it's like, all right, now let's add stuff up on top and then move this around. It's really cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, the maps look like something that we could have just cooked up on the
creative, like create a park.
Yeah.
They were simple.
Plus with graphics, the faces themselves, you'd think because it's 2015, we have better mapping face mapping for a game.
Yeah, no.
And they look terrible. They still look terrible.
It still just looks like a three-dimensional, like, oval head with just a face pasted on the front.
And we're saying that coming out of the series that had, like, polygons for faces.
Yeah.
And it still feels dated.
It looks like polygons.
Let's move on to sound effects, because I know you guys were telling me a little bit more of the sound effects than I was. The sound effects, more or less, are they more realistic in sounds?
No.
Yet?
No.
I just thought that the sound effects from like, because we popped in Pro Skater 4, and I was like, man, the sound effects on this are way better.
Yeah.
Like, even the originals were better in sound effects.
I think the originals also gave a bit of a sense of... kind of like this, almost like a highlight. Let me put it that way. The sounds now from the arcade style of Pro Skater 5, the sounds now are a little bit more in the sense of realistic tone as far as like, okay, this is what I would actually hear. But the old ones were cartoony in a sense. Like, am I making sense when I say that?
Yeah, because I know like when you would eat it,
it was just like...
Yeah, or like if you would land a trick that was like real sloppy, it would sound like you're ripping the needle. Yeah, you're ripping the needle off of a record player.
Yeah.
You know, like that.
And that's another thing that was so fun. When you bail, you like your character might crack the board out of anger or throw it off the screen. Like, that was funny to watch.
Yeah. Well, that was in Thug 2.
Well, that was there too. But the new game being Pro Skater 5, it just refreshes the screen. There's nothing fun about that.
And the horrible part is there's no blood, because in the other ones, if you would smash real hard, blood would come out. Yeah. You would see blood.
Yeah.
And in this one, there's no blood, and he doesn't even look like he's actually falling. He literally just goes limp like a rag doll.
Yeah.
It looks horrible.
It is. It's very bad. Very bad mechanics. I mean, there was not much else for me to say about sound effects, except, yes, I agree. I think the older games just gave it a different sense. And I think the focus here was just trying to make it more realistic in this game, but the sound effects in the day gave it a sense of arcade and just all-around fun. Now, in the music, which Kurt, I know, has the biggest problem with the music, because we all agree, where in the world is the ska?
Where in the
Goldfinger.
World?
Yeah. Rage Against the Machine. Institutionalized. That song. Just throw them in.
Yeah. It would be nice to have a little bit of that.
Where's the ska? Where's the hard rock?
Yeah.
I don't want to listen to some pop culture music and skate to that.
Like alternative.
Yeah. No. I don't want to skate to that. I want to skate to freaking ska music.
Or like some punk music. Or punk. Or something.
Yes.
Yes.
Just throw in some like freaking Rise Against.
I'm not going to hate on the soundtrack so much as much as I was going to, because as I looked through the list, I found a couple others on the actual track list. And punk-wise, yeah, punk and hard rock, they're in there. I mean, it's not that bad of a list, but at the end of the day, including alternative gave it such a different feel.
Mm-hmm.
That for the main menu, I was just like, this isn't what I remember. This isn't what I feel.
I think it's just because today's version of like punk music is just not the same as it was before.
Not.
And like the rock, the hard rock.
It's
music.
Too light.
It's not.
No, it's like not punk light.
Yeah, it's not as gritty.
It's like a beer, light
it's
beer.
Not as
punk
raw.
Light. Like, yeah, yeah.
I could actually come up with a list of songs to put in a skate game,
yeah,
in a Tony Hawk game, and it would be perfect.
Yeah. I'd say take away the light punk that they have in the game and maybe just include more ska.
And throw in some freaking like grunge music. Throw in like, I mean, you got to make it dark and gritty.
And there's no AC/DC in this one.
Yeah, yeah. What the hell is that?
Seriously? Like,
yeah, you lead with TNT in what? Pro Skater 3?
That was 4. Yeah.
That was 4.
3 or 4. Okay, yeah.
Number 4.
And Dirty Deeds Done Dern Cheap.
Yeah, just
Done Dern Cheap. Dirty Deeds Done Cheap. Those you include AC/DC in those, and now AC/DC's what? Old hat now? Is it classic now?
No, hard rock, ska, and grunge.
It's
and
I
punk.
I could skate to AC/DC all day. All day.
All day.
All day. I could do this all day, Winston.
So okay, so let's just get into the final thoughts about this, because at the end of the day, for me, I still say this. It's playable. It is playable. Is it forgettable? Yes. Very forgettable. It is one that you do not pick up brand new. If you want to buy it used, then just buy it when it's in not even a $5 bin.
Yeah. As a kid who played these growing up, and as Jacob, you and me used to play these all the time, mm-hmm. and Corey.
Yeah, we all did.
We all played these growing up.
Yeah.
Like, these were our games. Don't buy the new one. Either go find a retro store and buy all the originals, including Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 1, 2, 3, 4. Heck, you can get 2X that was made for the Xbox. You could get Thug, Tony Hawk's Underground 2, American Wasteland. But stop there. American Wasteland was the last okay one.
Yeah.
And honestly, I was a fan of it. Like, it wasn't terrible.
Yeah.
It was still pretty good.
I liked American Wasteland.
But it died right there.
Yeah.
That was the last one that was good. Either get all of those or just go buy Skate. Because the Skate series are just 1,000 times better than all the Tony Hawk games.
It was really after Neversoft ended up disbanding. Yeah. The company quit.
Neversoft knew how to make a game.
They knew the style that they were going for, and being the arcade style it was, they really nailed it on the head as to what it should be. As far as Neversoft leading and Robomoto taking over, I think Robomoto is doing the best they can with what they got.
Yeah.
But I think that they have the feel all wrong, because it's this whole new fresh take.
And when Skate came out back in like 07,
I think it was, yeah,
that game just like blew the pro skater games away. I mean, yes, there's nothing that compares to the old pro skater games when it comes to just like having fun and playing like a casual game. But like, if you were a skater like I was back in the day, you really appreciated. I was in like eighth grade when Skate came out, and I was skating all the time, and I was just like, man, the realistic aspect of this game is just so amazing, how you actually use your joysticks to like scoop and flick the board to make it do the different tricks. And instead of hitting a button to grind on a ledge, you literally just have to land. If you land on it correctly, you will grind. There's no balance bar or anything. You don't just grind the whole thing just because you landed on it. If you don't have enough speed, you're going to fall off.
Yeah.
You know? And it's just, they make it so realistic. You actually have to like pump up and down the ramps and all that stuff.
Like, I still remember when it was announced, like, their catchphrase was "Get real, Tony."
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And because the Skate games were just realistic to a very, very specific sense, and mm-hmm. it was so much better. And I still remember the day I bought it, I told you about it, and you came over straight away, and we were just, like, playing that for, like, hours.
Yeah,
because it was amazing.
And I want to be clear for the listeners, I've never played the Skate games before. It was a little bit after I was like, I wasn't really into the skateboarding genre and whatnot, except for the Tony Hawk games, because they were just meant to be arcade fun. So I played what was it, Skate 3 or Skate 2? You made me play last night.
I had you play Skate 2, okay. Which is my favorite.
It's funny, because I played it and I could not get used to the mechanics and the gameplay style with the pads, because I'm just so used to the buttons. But
you were still trying to hit button to
I can't. It's going to take me time to adapt if I ever decide to go back and play that. But I can see why you guys consider it more realistic, and I consider why those games are definitely made for the real skaters.
It takes skill.
Right, right. And I'm not going to disagree. I do think I could see how it would be a better game in the sense of that. It also comes down to what kind of gamer are you? Are you more professional? You take it into like real nitty gritty detail, or are you just casual like myself and play an arcade game? So, but as far as Pro Skater 5 people, it is a disappointment in every sense of the word. If you're a true fan of the original Tony Hawk games, just go back and play the old ones and just reminisce. Have a good time. Speaking of which, now that the review's done, let's get into Ask the Nerds, which Kurt gave us the question today.
I actually have a different question now.
Oh.
I have a completely different one, and this is brand new, and this will really make you think.
Yeah, he was going to ask us which one's our favorite games, which it's Underground for me.
Well, yeah, it was Underground. Like, we all agreed, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was Underground that was the best Tony Hawk game.
Yeah.
Now, here's a better question. Should they try to fix the Pro Skater again by trying to make a new one, and it's completely like the originals? I mean, to a T, what we want. Or would you rather have a new HD version of Underground?
A new HD version of Underground in the sense of just every, HD remastered.
Everything is the same. It's just 1,000 times better graphics.
No, I'd want Underground the way it is.
It's either that or trying to make Pro Skater.
Is this like one of those will you press the buttons?
Yeah.
Is this like one of those?
You could only get one. What would you choose?
Between, so it's to me, it's the lesser of two evils. Which would I rather have? I would just
remastered Underground. Nothing has changed. Everything's still feels the same.
This is like one of those. Would you rather always have cheesy Cheeto fingers or crap your pants every time you sneeze?
Yeah, kind of like that. It's the lesser of two evils.
Because eventually, there's irony in the decision that you make.
A pro skater game where it feels just like the originals, everything we wanted, or a remastered Underground.
Well, if we're looking at it in that sense, everything that we want, I would just say give us a new Pro Skater game then. Because I love Underground the way it is. I don't think I'd want an HD remaster because I feel like by doing that, you're tweaking things that you loved about it. Like, let's put it this way. It's the same way you look at the original Star Wars movie. People flipped out every time George Lucas made a change. Some changes were good, don't get me wrong, but a lot of changes were bad. So it's not exactly the way you remember it. People love something for exactly how it is, with mistakes involved. Because you and I still joke around all the time about the like the times we'll find a glitch in a game, and we just have fun with it. Like the handstand one, the handstand glitch from Underground.
Where
the hand plant like, or whatever.
You have to go up and you do a stall, and then you jump, and then do a hand plant, and you can switch between the hand plants like super fast. It was a glitch that not many people knew about, but you just randomly find, and you're like, oh my god!
But you have fun with it, and it means something to you. So because of that, if somebody went and did an HD remaster and fixed that glitch, I wouldn't be as happy.
No, I said they don't fix anything. All they do is just make 1,000 times better graphics.
Just better graphics, nothing else.
They don't change the game.
Maybe just like clear up some of the audio too a little bit.
I think I'd still say a new game. I like Underground the way exactly the way it is.
Just
because
give it a bit of a facelift.
Well, what about an Underground 3?
If they did everything right, I'd take an Underground 3 because I like Underground.
Okay.
And granted, I remember playing Underground 2 and I didn't like it because I wasn't into Jackass at the time. Now I like Jackass. I feel like I would enjoy that game a lot more.
And just between you and me, Jacob, what would you rather have? A new Tony Hawk's game where it's all either Pro Skater or Underground, or a Skate 4?
Oh. I think I know where Jacob's going to go.
I say Skate 4. I'd much rather have a Skate 4.
Yeah, I really like playing Skate.
Because
at the same time, if they made like Underground 3, that would be awesome.
True.
That's why
it's really difficult.
I really liked Underground 2.
Yeah, Corey didn't like it because it was just mass mayhem and just destroy everything.
I remember you could get the board that had like a motor on the back.
Yeah.
And you could just like ride around and like not have to push or do anything. And you would go fast as crap and like you would go off that huge ramp.
The one map you get Bigfoot.
Yeah, there's like Yeti, like Bigfoot or whatever, just like walking around. You gotta like go find him and then you can skate as him.
Man, I really want to play that now.
Underground 2?
Yeah.
Really? You hated it.
Did you ever get that far, Corey?
I don't remember. I think I remember beating the game. I don't remember. It was just... Yeah. It's like I told you. I just wasn't into Jackass at the time. I wasn't into the fun stuff like that. And that's where I feel like Tony Hawk also got it wrong.
Paulie Wheels of Fury Ryan. I still remember that.
Well,
you
I know
play as a kid riding in a wheelchair like a skateboard.
I remember that.
The freaking wheelchair.
I do remember
around.
That.
I'm trying to remember. Was it Underground 2 where you start off in like Philadelphia?
I think
the
yeah.
First
but,
one?
No, wait.
I don't know.
No, well, you start off in Underground in New Jersey. The first
one. Yeah, yeah. The first one you start off in New Jersey, so the second one has to be in Philly because
I think so.
Because American Wasteland is all in California.
Yeah.
Right.
So this yeah, Underground.
I'll just go find it and like
yeah,
buy it on
you
eBay.
Start off I liked where you started off in Philly because you had to do that one where you would like grind on the cannons and they would like shoot.
Oh yeah, yeah. I forgot about that.
Well, Jared Jr. and Justin own the copy and I asked them if I could borrow it soon. So because now I'm just in the mood to play all the old Tony Hawk games.
Wait a minute.
What? Did you sell it to them?
I never sold it to them.
Did you?
But I don't remember selling the game.
You don't remember trading it in?
I think they borrowed it a long time ago and never gave it back. How dare they?
Oh my gosh. That's why I don't let anybody borrow my toys.
Well, who knows? But anyway.
All right, guys. Let's finish up the show today. Thank you all for listening with us. You probably already know how to reach us, but if you don't, here's how. You can follow us on Podomatic.com or through iTunes on the podcast app. Like our Facebook page or follow us on Twitter at JustNerdStuff1. Get involved, please. Give us comments or suggestions because our show is shaped by you. Or ask a question for our Ask the Nerd segment. If we pick it, you will get a shout-out because everybody likes shout-outs. If you use iTunes, do us an extra favor. Give us a rating and review. We need some of them. And as always, don't forget to share our podcast around with your friends because we need to spread the nerdiness. Guys, it's time for the fun fact of the day. So, before Neversoft and Activision actually asked Tony Hawk to become part of a skateboarding game that they had in development, Tony Hawk came up with the same idea to make a skateboarding game and actually went to different game developers to pitch an idea. One executive reportedly laughed at him and stated, "There is just no market for a skateboarding video game." And
look at where we are.
Look at where we are now. And Tony Hawk still drives with that idea that he thinks he can make another good one.
No, look at where we are now. There's just absolutely no market for a skateboarding game.
Yes. 15 years later.
I mean, there was.
There was.
Now, there is not.
It's gone. It's gone from our culture. What happened? What happened? Jacob, what happened?
It got old.
Yeah, kind of.
The skateboarders grew up. Except Tony Hawk.
That's what happened to me. I had to, like, get a job and, and stuff.
Tony Hawk's like, "Guys, you guys want to go skating? You guys, he's
like, sorry, bro. I got to go to work. Sorry. I got to go to college."
He'll be 60 years old. "You guys want to go skating?"
I just can't afford to hurt myself.
I still have my deck somewhere in my room.
Tony Hawk's lying in his deathbed.
"You guys want to go skating?"
Yeah. Yeah, seriously.
Stay nerdy, universe.